In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. The homily this morning is about enduring God's tests as a pathway to healing. Enduring God's tests on us as a pathway to healing. There are several verses that we could focus on this morning. The main point that I would like to make is that the tests that God introduces into our lives are a means of healing our souls. We don't like to get tested. I know how to drive a car. I don't need to go and get the test for the license. I know how to build a house. I don't need to go get my construction, take my constructor, general contractor's test. I know how to do it. Why are you testing me? I know how to sell a house. I can sell a house better than anybody else. Why do I have to go get a real estate agent license? Don't test me. I know. Now, whether wittingly or unwittingly, do we treat God that way? St. Nikolai points out that the Lord gave the blind man three tests. The first test was of the blind man's will. So, would he be obedient? But he was obedient to the Lord's command, and he came back seeing with his physical eyes. What did the Lord tell him to do? Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. That was a test to see if he would be obedient. The second test was of the man's mind. Would he believe all the lies of the Pharisees? So he's going to get hit with a bunch of lies, rapid fire. This man is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath. How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. You are his disciple. We're disciples of Moses. And we know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. What about the accusations against Paul and Silas? Acts chapter 16. The lies. These men are Jews and they're disturbing our city. They advocate customs which is not lawful for us Romans to accept or practice. And the crowds joined in attacking Paul and Silas, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows on them, they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And having received this charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet with stocks. But what did they do? What did St. Paul and St. Silas do? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. That's how they responded to this test. We're tested in our day with lies. How could a God of love allow suffering in the world? Jesus was a prophet, but so was Confucius. so was Socrates, so was Muhammad and Gandhi and others. No one has a corner on the truth. Constantine created Jesus' divinity. Until the Council of Nicaea, Jesus was viewed by many of his followers as a mighty prophet and a great and a powerful man, but a man, nevertheless, just a mortal man. That's a direct quote from the movie Da Vinci Code, by the way. So we get the lies in the movies too, don't we? As long as there have been a belief in one true God, there has been killing in his name. What about the Crusades? I don't believe in organized religion because the church is corrupt. Christians are racist and bigots. How are we to stand up to such tests? Because these are tests on us. What are we going to do? What are we going to say? Maybe what are we going to not say? Will we continue to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as God from eternity? The third test of this man was a test of the man's heart. And after this was all said and done, Jesus asked him, Father Simeon pointed out to me before the service started today, Jesus went and got him. When he found out what happened, Jesus went and found him and got him. Do you believe in the Son of God? Jesus said. He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Now his spiritual eyes were opened, and he saw Jesus as God. Both his physical eyes and now his spiritual eyes are open. Illumination. Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Saint Nikolai. This reply of his is also for us. We are his contemporaries, for he is alive forever and ever. And today we have the confirmation of his words, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." What do we need to see physically? What do we need to see spiritually? Light. And Jesus is the light. As long as he is in a man's soul, he is the light of that man. As long as he is in the midst of a people, he is the light of that people. As long as he is in a school, he is the light of that school. As long as he is in a workshop, he is the light of the work and the workers. Anywhere from which he withdraws his presence, total darkness prevails. A human soul without him becomes hell. A people without him becomes a pack of famished and ravenous wolves. A school without him becomes a poison factory of folly. A workshop without him becomes a place of grumbling and hatred. And think of the hospitals and prisons without him. They become dark caverns of despair. Indeed, whoever thinks on the days of his life without Christ and days without him, this man has in himself a witness to the truth of the Lord's words. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Is this not a poignant commentary from St. Nikolai on the world that we live in today? Mass shooters in our society, they are famished and ravenous wolves. Our schools, our colleges, our universities, generally speaking, they have become poison factories of folly. Our political correct workplaces, places that have only increased in grumbling and hatred. So how might we apply these things to our lives today, to this story of the healing of the blind man? It is incumbent upon us to respond appropriately to the tests which are placed in our lives by God for the healing and strengthening of our souls. The Lord may ask us to do something we don't understand. We must obey Him. He may allow us to be confronted by our fellow man in such a way that we are tempted to betray him, or at least hide our knowledge of the truth. We must confess Him and proclaim Him as God and not draw back from that. It is especially hard for our children and our young people in the schools today. Be courageous. Be courageous. You know the truth. You have the truth. You have the light living within you. Proclaim it. He may seek and find us who have become outcasts in our family, at our school, at our job, even in our church, or in public life. Do you ever feel like an outcast at church? Well, it happens, doesn't it? I mean, we're all fallen people, but we're all family too. Let's be a family. We must believe in Him and continuously worship Him. Because God introduces these tests into our lives as a means of healing our souls, healing our mind, healing our heart, healing our will. Sadness seems to abound these days. Sadness. Do you feel sad? Sometimes you're just sitting in your house and you're alone and you feel sad. And I feel sad. Well, where is that coming from? Poor me, because, you know, maybe the sadness, I'm not saying it always comes from this way, but maybe sadness comes from some test from God. Maybe the sadness comes from, I feel like, My children or grandchildren are not living the life that they should live. I feel like that's hurting my reputation. I feel sadness for, you know, many different things. Take it as just whether it is or not, take it as a test from God and pass the test. With rejoicing, may we reclaim that healing that we were given in the waters of baptism by the power and operation of the Holy Spirit, and may our lives be reoriented to obedience, to perseverance, and to faith. We believe, O Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We believe that Thou art the Son of God, the light of the world. We, together with the choirs of angels and saints in heaven, and with Thy whole church on earth, worship Thee, the most gracious Lord, Thee and Thy Father and Thy Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. Christ is risen.